One of the things we most need in life is wisdom. When I became a pastor at the age of 27, I suddenly found myself giving pastoral guidance, including marriage guidance, including all sorts of issues. The first elders meeting I ever attended, I was in the chair. I felt my lack of wisdom very keenly. Nearly 20 years later, I feel just as dependent on God. My guess is that all of us long for wisdom. Wisdom to know how to flourish in life. Bernard of Clairvaux said, "There are those who desire to acquire knowledge for its own value. And this is a base vanity. But there are others who desire to have it to edify others. And this is charity. And there are others who desire it so that they may be edified. And this is wisdom." Wisdom, for Bernard of Clairvaux, is knowledge which edifies us, knowledge which builds us up in Christ. Today we're looking at the wisest king Israel ever had. King Solomon was a great blessing to the people of Israel. God gave the people a king who would build the temple and lead the people in God's ways. The context of these verses is that God has appeared to Solomon in a dream and offered to give him whatever he asked for. Solomon pleases God very much when he asks for wisdom and not for riches and not for the death of his enemies. So God gives Solomon wisdom, and in addition, he gives Solomon wealth and honour. And God promises Solomon a long life if he will walk in God's ways. So Solomon is a great king, a great blessing to Israel. And yet, there are indications, even this early, that all is not well with Solomon. In chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon makes an alliance with Egypt and marries Pharaoh's daughter. This is an early sign of the way that Solomon's reign will go wrong. He will marry many foreign wives, and they will lead him into pagan practices. In chapter 3, verse 3, Solomon is already offering sacrifices and burning incense at the high places. He's already taking part in pagan Canaanite worship. And this will only get much worse as Solomon grows older. But for today we see the king Israel needed, the king the world needed, and the king we need. The king Israel needed at the time was Solomon. The king the world needed, and which we need, is Jesus himself. Solomon is a type of Christ. He's a model of Jesus, who would come later as king. Firstly then, the king Israel needed. Verse 16. "Now two prostitutes came to the king and stood before him." This is an indication of the flawed nature of Solomon's kingship. There should have been no prostitutes in Solomon's kingdom. But there were. Moreover, Solomon himself would create the greatest harem Israel would ever see. Women were not treated well in Solomon's court. Anyway, verse 17, one of them said, "Pardon me, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house. I had a baby while she was there with me. The third day after my child was born, this woman also had a baby. They were alone in the house." Verse 19. "During the night, this woman's son died because she lay on him. So she got up in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while I, your servant, was asleep. She put him by her breast and put her dead son by my breast. The next morning, the woman finds a dead baby at her breast." But she says, "When I looked at him closely in the morning light, I saw that it wasn't the son I had borne." So the two women petition the king, "Who should keep the living baby?" Famously, the king asks for a sword to be brought. He then orders, verse 25, "Cut the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." Then, of course, the real mother shows herself, verse 26b, "Please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him." But the woman whose baby had died said, "Neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two." So the king is able to give the baby to his mother. Verse 28. When all Israel heard the verdict the king had given, they held the king in awe, because they saw that he had wisdom from God to administer justice. Solomon is the king Israel needed. He's a great blessing to them from God. He is wise. In chapter 4, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and very great insight and a breadth of understanding as measureless as the sand on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East and greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone else. His fame spread to all the surrounding nations. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. He was an authority on botany in 1 Kings 4:33 and on animal life. From all nations, people came to listen to Solomon's wisdom, sent by the kings of the world, 1 Kings 4:34. Solomon is a good king. He leads the nation in God's way some of the time. He builds the temple. And yet in some respects, he is very foolish. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, went from being a Catholic monk to a married man. "I've been very happy in my marriage, thank God. I have a faithful wife, according to Solomon. The heart of a husband doth safely trust in her," Proverbs 31 verse 11. "She spoils nothing for me." But Solomon didn't know the unique and exclusive relationship of one man and one woman. In chapter 11, verse 1 and following, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. They were from the nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." 11, verse 3. He had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew older, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. Chapter 11, verse 9. The Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel. As a punishment for Solomon's sin, the kingdom would be divided. Not in Solomon's time, but in his son's reign. Nonetheless, despite all this, Solomon was the king Israel needed at this time. He was far from perfect, but he looked forward to the day when a perfect king would come, when Jesus would come. So secondly, we see the king the world needed. Solomon is a picture of the greater king the world needed. Solomon is a picture of Jesus. An incomplete and imperfect picture. Solomon typifies Christ in a number of ways. His wisdom points ahead to Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. The Apostle Paul writes to a Greek church, the Corinthian church. This is a church which greatly values human wisdom. But God demonstrates a greater wisdom in Jesus. It's the message of the cross. Foolishness to those who are perishing, but the power of God to those who are being saved. Paul quotes Isaiah 29 verse 14. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. God will expose the weakness of human wisdom and intelligence. God makes foolish the wisdom of the world. Greeks look for wisdom, but God will give them the message of the cross. God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. In Christ Jesus, God provides wisdom from God, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. God provides a wisdom which the world dismisses as foolishness. God provides a king which the world dismisses as foolishness. But Jesus is the king the world needs. Solomon's fame, glory, wealth, and honour foreshadow Christ in his kingdom. Solomon's rule brings knowledge, peace, and worship. However, in Matthew 12:42, Jesus says, "The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now, something greater than Solomon is here." Something greater than Solomon is here. Someone greater than Solomon is here. He is the king the world needs. And thirdly, we see here the king we need. We need Jesus because we are sinful people. We need to be rescued from sin, death, and hell. And only King Jesus can do this. When Jesus judged a woman caught in adultery, he sent her away to leave her sin behind. Jesus shows that he has tremendous wisdom, but also power. Power to change sin-ravaged lives into lives which are for his honour and glory. In John 8, which I know is a disputed passage, but certainly does contain truth about Jesus, Jesus' Jewish opponents bring to Jesus a woman caught in adultery. The teachers of the law are recommending that the woman be stoned to death. But they were using the question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing Jesus. Stoning is the biblically prescribed punishment for a betrothed virgin who is sexually unfaithful to her fiancé in Deuteronomy 22, 23 and 24. Elsewhere, in Leviticus 20 verse 10 and Deuteronomy 22 verse 22, death is prescribed for all unfaithful wives and their lovers. But no mode such as stoning is laid down. However, there is little evidence that such executions were carried out in first century Palestine. Jesus was just being put in a difficult position by his enemies. If Jesus disavowed the law of Moses, his credibility would be undermined. If Jesus had upheld the law of Moses and stoned the woman, he could have been in trouble with the Romans. And his well-known compassion for the broken would have been denied. Wonderfully, Jesus says, "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." One by one, the woman's accusers go away, until only Jesus and the woman are left. Jesus shows extraordinary wisdom. He is the perfect judge. And Jesus says to her, "Go now and leave your life of sin." Jesus has the power to set the sinner free, to speak wholeness, to send the sinner away into a life of freedom from sin. Solomon is not able to do this. At best, Solomon can mitigate the worst consequences of sin. Jesus is the king we need. We're like the woman caught in adultery. We are justly under the condemnation of God. But Jesus is able to set us free. Another instance in John's Gospel when a Jewish leader comes to Jesus is in chapter 3. Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council, comes to Jesus at night, and Jesus says to him, verse 3, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again, unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Jesus is able to prescribe a new birth, an encounter with the Spirit of God. If we are made spiritually brand new, born again, made one of God's children. Solomon cannot do this. Solomon needs to be born again himself, which I'm sure he was. But Jesus can do what Solomon could never do. He can make us brand new creatures, forgiven, clean, empowered by the Spirit to live a new life. So, the King Israel needed, the King the world needed, the King we need. Solomon is the King Israel needed at this time. He would be a wise king by human standards. He would build the temple. His would be a glorious reign. But Jesus is the king the world needed. Jesus is the king we need. Do we know his rule in our lives? Do we need wisdom? Christ Jesus is, for us, wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30 again. The way to know the wisdom of Jesus is for him to become our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Jesus becomes our righteousness when we are born again. When we come to Jesus, freely admitting our sin, seeking forgiveness, repenting of our rebellion against him. When we come to him like this, Jesus takes our sin and he says, "I paid for this on the cross. Let me take away your sin and give you righteousness. We are made righteous in Christ. We are justified. We are declared innocent in God's sight. We are given holiness. We are made holy. This is both a moment and a process. In a moment, we are made holy. We are made righteous. We are made acceptable in God's sight. We are made ready for heaven. So righteousness and holiness are a moment. But then we also see that this is a process. We're not made perfect in our experience. We are justified. We are legally innocent. We are acceptable to God. But we still battle sin. We still have a sinful nature. We still struggle with sin. We still fail. We still mess up. And every day, we have to be forgiven and cleansed. And gradually, as a process, we are made ready for heaven. We are sanctified. This is the wonderful thing that happens to us when we make Jesus King. And when we make Jesus King, we grow in our experience of wisdom. We feed on the Word of God day by day. We commit our needs to Him in prayer. We ask for His help. And gradually, we grow in wisdom. Solomon was very impressive in many ways. But he is just an imperfect picture of Jesus, of the King the world needs, the King we need. Do you belong to Jesus? Is he your King? Have you come to a crossroads in your life when you realise there are two ways to live? You can either live with Jesus on the throne of your life, or you can live with self on the throne of your life. With self on the throne, we can expect nothing better than flawed human wisdom. With Christ on the throne, we can expect to be given wisdom, as someone was given wisdom. We can learn negatively from Solomon. He had a divided heart. He loved God, but he loved women. And he foolishly followed their false gods. May we be wholly devoted to God. May Christ be on the throne of our lives. May we be daily on the cross, dying to wrong thoughts and attitudes, and living for Christ, living for Christ, enjoying His wisdom.